L-E-D-E-N-E-T.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Third hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game this Tuesday afternoon. Hope everybody's having a good day to this point. Good conversation with Nate Washington earlier this hour. Now we bring in Vince Ferrara. Normally joins us Mondays at this time. Had to push him to Tuesday this week. He was filling in on the midday show there on WNML in Knoxville yesterday. And Vince Ferrara is powered by TechCore, providing you top-of-the-line IT service and Turner Security Systems right here in Nashville. Vince, how you doing?
I'm good, guys. Appreciate you and appreciate TechCore. Can't wait to next time get to Nashville to go by and see those guys, Jamie and the crew. I know they do awesome work, so appreciate them supporting this segment.
All right. You know what? You know what else is being supported right now? Recruiting for the Vols. And they have yet again, they've done it again, right? I mean, did I see this yesterday? Did they flip a guy from Auburn to now their way?
Yeah, a local kid from King's Academy here in Knoxville, big lineman. And, it's, you know, Tennessee is really, and I outlined this in one of my blogs, Tennessee already on the roster right now has 16 players from the Knoxville area, even a little bit extended in Morristown, with Morristown West kid. But in this area, 16 kids on the roster, half of those are scholarship. The other half are walk-ons, so it's not like all walk-ons, but it's interesting. There is a good relationship between this coaching staff and local kids. Doesn't mean they get every player. They had a high-level offensive lineman, Brian Tucker from Catholic High School here in Knoxville, who they have a number of players from, and they were featured on national TV on Saturday in their first broadcast of games against Deion Sanders, who was in town. And his son, but they've got a number of kids from there, but Brian Tucker went to Clemson. So not getting everybody, but they need, the line of scrimmage is always a position area that they will continue to address. They need to actually, that's been an area of thought for 2021 and 2022 to continue to add to their group. So not surprising that they've added another big body to the group from the area, because they've been consistent at that, and like I said, have good relationships with a lot of the high school coaches. Whether they have players or not, I talk to a lot of them in doing play by play for games, and I've tried to ask as many of them as possible, what's your contact with the Tennessee coaching staff, even if they don't have any players, and they say great, they touch base. And so they're doing a nice job over there. So I think that helps you once you do come around and there's a player that you want.
The SEC today put out their CBS Game of the Week, their schedule for this upcoming season. Starting on September 26th, you'll have Mississippi State at LSU. Looking down the line the following week, Texas A&M at Alabama, Georgia and Alabama, LSU and Auburn, Florida and Georgia, Alabama, LSU. See Tennessee on there. You a little surprised by that?
No, because it's not the full schedule. So it is SEC West heavy. I get that, but it's only about half of the schedule. And the open weeks happen to be Tennessee games against Georgia, Alabama, okay, Auburn, Florida, and I think Vanderbilt is the other one, and that would be unlikely. But so there's still opportunities against big opponents to get on to CBS. So I'm that's not a big deal. It doesn't surprise me. And they tried to encourage the networks to make as many advanced decisions as they could on those games. And Tennessee is one of those teams to where, depending on how the season goes, they could be that second high-level team to make it a really good matchup, or if they're struggling through, you know, some of their difficult games and they're hovering around 500, then it may seem more one-sided if you want to get to the to that week. So that Tennessee is sort of that fluid team that I think you do need to find out where they're at, if they, in fact, have taken that next step, if they're beating some of the big programs to where they're in the mix for the East. Then you put them on there, and then it's a great game. But I understand the wait and see on them. Some of those other teams are more known commodities, and then you can pick those games in advance. And you know, so I still think there's a good chance they'll get, you know, a couple two tree before it's all said and done on CBS.
Yeah, now that you say that, when you think about the ones that they haven't named yet, the mm-hmm. open weeks, and you. Now you hear the opponent. Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, they're going to get at least one, if not, you know, depends on their start too. I mean, you know, that right. I think there's a chance they for sure get in there for a couple. Real quick, just to slide away from football for just a second, what did you make of the news coming out yesterday that the NCAA had trademarked "Battle in the Bubble"? I mean, you think that's where all this? I mean, we've heard. We've had Gary Perry, Sean, and others. I mean, they're adamant. The people in the college basketball world, Vince, are adamant. Like, they are going to do whatever it takes. Like, they cannot miss another season, or especially more. They can't miss another year of the NCAA tournament, or we know what will happen. They feel all the vibe we're getting is they are bound and determined to do whatever it takes to pull this off. And the bubble thing was brought up to us a good while back, that they were having those talks of, you know, we've seen it work in other sports, and I'm sure they're watching too, that trying to find some hubs and just have a bunch of teams go there and that's where they stay or whatever. I don't know how it's all going to play out, but what did you make of that?
So there's a lot of layers to this. I'll try to be quick. Yeah. And it, first of all, it does not surprise me. Second of all, you know why the NCAA is so determined to make sure this happens is because that NCAA tournament money goes to them. Football, they're on the outside. So, of course, they have more of a vested interest to make sure that this happens. Now, that being said, it's not like it's not a necessity. Rick Barnes even mentioned it. They have to get the NCAA tournament in. And in order for you to get the NCAA tournament in, you have to have some semblance of a regular season. So that means both must happen in some form or fashion. Also, you have to be able to it can't be bubble singular. They can brand it that way. It has to be bubbles plural, because then you can have the smaller little short term, and that's the key, short term bubbles, to where you have kids there for a brief time as if they're going to Maui or the Bahamas or something like that for a little non-conference tournament, and then you have them there, and then it's just like regular travel, only they're maybe a little bit more restricted. That's how you can get away with not with that amateurism aspect of this. So, and I think the NCAA tournament will function in the same way, just like with regionals where you have, you know, just a few teams in there and you sort it out. I think over a 4-day period, I think it will be bubbles plural, but they'll brand it with the singular. Another thing is, it's also not just necessarily for the NCAA tournament. I think it's also for some of those pre-conference tournaments, because that's what Rick Barnes and I've heard other coaches talk about, is we all those and those tournaments that they originally had, you can put them together and then have like a week-long type of deal, short-term, again, being the key. And then another thing they mentioned is that this is for multiple sports, not just for hoops. So I think some of those other Olympic sports, it'll be a little bit easier to have a shorter, condensed NCAA tournament to where you can do the bubble type of scenario. And then, you know, once you leave a bubble, then you test and you go to another bubble, maybe you spread it out a little bit more, but that's how you get away with the amateurism aspect of it and still keep it to where it is safe. So I absolutely think they're going to do whatever they need to. It's also a long way away for the basketball tournament. Hopefully we're not still in a situation where that's the only way you can safely do games, but I mean, who knows, between now and then, it's a long time.
Vince Ferraro is with us. Vince, do you get the sense, though, because doing the tournament that way is one thing, but executing the season is also a part of the discussion. There's been a lot of creative ideas thrown out there about modified bubbles just to get your conference games in or something. Do you sense that the communication and the planning, the creativity, as we sit here today on September 1st, knowing you've got a little more time than the football guys, but not making the same mistakes that football has made waiting to the last minute. Do you sense they're ahead of the curve on that?
Well, I think they're thinking through scenarios, Willie, like you mentioned, but they need to see how football works first. And I think they've been open to that, the coaches that I've heard talk about it. They need football to work and see how it works, learn from it, be better in it. It's a different scenario because you're talking about closed buildings as opposed to much bigger outdoor venues. So, and then again, by the time we get there, where are we at with coronavirus at that point? So they're going through the scenarios, and hopefully they will plan for it better than I think at times football did, that maybe it kind of hoped that this would go away by the time they got to it and then had to scramble to try to figure out how to execute the medical and things like that. But I do think they're working it out. But as far as predicting on how they'll do it, I'm not sure. The regular season conference – games, I mean, good luck doing a bubble with that kind of setup. I think that is much less likely, and I don't know how they make it work, because then you're doing longer periods of time and the amateurism thing is at stake. But they're having to think about these scenarios, but I don't think they're making decisions anything close to it yet.
So Vince, let's get back to, you said observing how football works. We're all doing that every day. We know Vanderbilt had to shut it down for a couple of days. They're back on the play on the practice field. Read a story about Auburn losing 16 players for a minimum of 17 days. That's a tough one that they're going to have to figure out a way to overcome. I guess so far so good with Tennessee in the day-to-day, the protocols. They haven't been hit with anything like that yet.
Yeah, LSU is another one that they've had some COVID struggles on campus. But Tennessee paused practice one day for COVID, and that was Friday. Jeremy Pruitt talked to the media, and he said that that they were pausing practice or holding back practice because they had a few more COVID positives. He wouldn't put a number on it, but a few more sounds like, hey, they were being extra careful and wanted to make sure that it didn't spread beyond that. So they retested everybody, and they were awaiting the results back. Then they had adjusted their Saturday schedule already because the players and a lot of student-athletes participated in a peaceful march, anti-racism march on campus. And so they had adjusted their practice schedule to the afternoon for that, and they ended up getting back on the practice field in full pads on Saturday. So that's a really positive sign, no pun intended, that they did get the results back and they felt comfortable to get back onto the practice field that quickly after just a one-day pause to await on tests. So that's, I think, another kind of a good test run for them to figure these things out now. Just like we talked about all those false negatives in the NFL, that it might end up being a little bit of a blessing that something like that happened to them with the 77 that ended up being false positives. Well, you figure out that there's an issue along the way and how to run through your protocol after that. Well, this is a way for Tennessee to see how they can manage this. And if they need to wait on tests and skip a day's practice, that's what you do. And then you mitigate any concerns or trickle down effect. So Tennessee largely has been able to avoid it, but it's just something I think a lot of these schools are going to have to monitor. Can you limit the damage? That's how you keep playing. And Tennessee seemed in its first little hurdle was able to do that and get back going.
I think that's going to be so important, is if you get one or two positives, can you keep that from becoming 6, 8, 10, 12, 20 positives? Because we know it can happen that way if you're not right on top of it from the start. So Vince, let's talk actually on the field, what you're seeing. you know, with this in this day and age, even before the circumstances we're dealing with right now, coaches let you see a lot less of practice. We know that. So what have you been able to tell from what you can evaluate on what has happened from the time they've started practice till now? What have you learned about the team?
Well, that they have options on the offensive line. And we've seen some different formations with the line. They flip the tackles at times. They're 2 5-star tackles, so now sophomore tackles in Morris and Wright at different times. I don't know that that's the way they'll line up in week one, but it's something that that they're cross-training right now. Now's the time to do that. A lot of offensive line coaches, and my partner on high school football broadcast, Don Mahoney, is big on it, that you cross-train, you teach concepts to where guys can be able to, in a pinch, slide over to another position, and now it's not as difficult to fill a gap, and now you have your 6th best lineman in, as opposed to maybe your 9th or 10th, because you're just keeping guys at one specific position. And he says that it's more difficult to hop over from one side to the other, more so than guard to tackle, if you teach those concepts properly. So I think this coaching staff believes in that, and that's why you're seeing guys move around a little bit. Cade Mays, at times, I think you're seeing him with the first team, and then they're also using other guys like Jerome Carvin and others, giving them looks in first unit type of groups when they're doing drills. So there's still a lot of fluctuation. There's not really guys, everybody's splitting reps equally. Jeremy Pruitt did drop a significant compliment on 5-star freshman quarterback Harrison Bailey. He said in one period yesterday when he said it, that Harrison Bailey really kind of shined. And shined is a pretty interesting description, because it makes it seem like he was the best of the group of quarterbacks. Now, he also said it was one period of one practice. So that's encouraging, that a guy like that who already missed the first week of practice could shine and stand out above the other quarterbacks as a true freshman. But also, he's just referring to one period. He's not saying that all last week Harrison Bailey shined. That's a different type of deal. Also, there's one of those offensive linemen that I mentioned that I thought was really impressive in the video that I've seen, and that's Javonte Spraggins, who's a kid from East St. Louis, Illinois. He lost 37 pounds in the offseason since he got to campus, and he was at 352. He's down to 315. And just when he'd do some of the striking drills, just look different. Some guys go through the motions. I mean, he was striking those pads held by a teammate and doing it with violence. And I don't know how many times I've been on the practice field. You guys know, if you've been out there, violent hands when you're talking about offensive, defensive linemen. And the kid did those drills right and is a big kid. So he was impressive to me. The wide receivers look good. Jalen Hyatt, I think, is a standout among the freshmen. So Henry Toto looks good. He's lost some weight, looks really mobile. And he's going to be, I think, an all-SEC player as a sophomore. So, but there's other guys, but I think, and Derek Ansley really complimented the defensive backs. Also, he said he needs them to be the strength of this defense, and that they have more depth back there. So, a lot of little things you can pick up. It's not as good as being out there, Willie, as obviously, but still, if you pay attention, I think you can pick up some little things.
Vince Ferrara is with us, 99.1 The Sports Animal in Knoxville, and you didn't mention the guy that I was going to ask you about, so I'm glad that I'm able to do that. But Jeremy Banks, we've talked about him with the off the field stuff that he had last year, but it seems like he's rebounded from that. I know that he's come in ready to work. He's competing for a linebacker position. How much do you think we're going to see of Jeremy Banks this year, and could he be one of the starters at linebacker for this team alongside Tuoto, or if Kavarius Crouch does not get that starting spot?
I would give, Chase, it's a good question. I would give Crouch the edge right now. And Derek Ansley, when we talked to him last week, did reference as Banks behind Crouch. So I think that was a little nugget there. It doesn't mean it's going to stay that way. I mean, they might have had one padded practice at the time when he mentioned that, but that's just maybe where the starting point was. They've had a total of three today, four after today, so in pads. I think Banks is in a backup spot. I think you'll see him situationally at least to start. I would say he's behind Crouch, and then you know, you can see him in a couple of different positions inside and maybe even in a rush type of role on third down. So I think he'll play. He'll play a lot on special teams. That's where he can stand out because he is just on the run as a former running back, can be a big-time hitter, I think, on special teams. So I think he'll have a big role there, situational on defense. And let's see how Crouch does at his second inside backer position and if Banks can make a move. But right now I do think he is behind him in competing for playing time at linebacker.
When you were going through the positions, you did mention wide receiver. Of all the position battles right now, is that the one that maybe is that you're giving some attention to or the most attention, or it could be the most important just because replacing Marquez Callaway and of course, Juwan Jennings, how important that's going to be?
It's up there. It's one of the most intriguing. And then Tennessee announced last week that D'Angelo Gibbs, the Georgia transfer that sat out all of last year, he's decided not to play this season. Now, Pruitt said it wasn't because of COVID. It was because he wanted to concentrate on his academics. But that's interesting that he's not playing football this year because he was one of those sort of X-factor type of guys that's been around, hadn't played a ton, but you know, highly recruited guy that you thought, all right, maybe with the year off and working on this game, settling in a wide receiver, maybe he can be a guy that could make a difference at wide receiver. But now that leaves them without Gibbs. Now they have 10 scholarship wide receivers. Five of them are true freshmen. So it's a young, unproven group for sure. And some of those guys that are experienced and not freshmen are unproven commodities. Ulysses Jones Jr., who obviously has a track record with T. Martin transferring from USC, but he's been much more of a return guy. Can he take that next step and be a factor wide receiver? Ramel Keaton, who flashed late in his freshman year, last year, who I really liked from that class, can he take that next step? But he doesn't have a ton of experience. Cedric Tillman has been around the program, but he's been spotty in his opportunities. And then Brandon Johnson didn't play much last year because of the injury. He redshirted, but he's a senior, and then the other senior being Josh Palmer. So a lot to be still proven in that group. Therefore, there are a lot of opportunities with those freshmen. Pruitt said that he's going to need all of them to play and have a role. I think one or two could have prominent roles, and then the other sort of trickling in, and as they're ready, they get a more of a look. I think Hyatt is one of those guys that maybe even pushes for a starting spot, perhaps at slot. But he's a guy that knows all three receiver positions. Pruitt, Jim Chaney, teammates, a lot of guys have been complimenting him. So I think he's a guy with his run after the catch ability, big time speed, can help the quarterbacks. I think you'll also see running backs, Ty Chandler, split out wide a lot to maybe if those freshmen aren't ready right away, that could give them an extra option. And then also when you motion a guy out, you can help determine what coverage is, and that could help the quarterback also. So you can get Chandler in space. I think that will add another weapon that's not at receiver form. So it definitely is one of the most intriguing position battles on this team.
Interesting. Were you on our airwaves back 9 years ago? I'm trying to remember how long you've been on these airwaves.
I think you would.
I want to say you've been on from pretty much the get-go. I would think
I mean, the 9 years have flown by, and congrats to you guys and the station for it. It's amazing. You've seen the evolution of the station, so many versions of it, but you guys are as strong as ever, and it definitely is a pleasure to be on with you guys. I don't know if it's been 9 years, but pretty early
it's
on.
Pretty darn close. Yeah.
Our thanks to you is you get a nice little graphic whenever you come on. We tweet that out
on Twitter.
That's how we show our appreciation.
very impressed by that. So let's go on the resume, like at the top.
There you go.
And now you can add Tech Corps to that as well, to that resume.
Of course.
They enjoy it so much. So thank you for the visit. As always, have a great rest of your week, and we'll do it again next week.
Pleasure's mine. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. Vince Ferrara, powered by Tech Corps, providing you top-of-the-line IT service and Turner Security Systems right here in Nashville. We appreciate him joining us. Normally, it's every Monday at noon. Had to push it to Tuesday. Next week, we'll have to push it to Tuesday as well, because I don't know if you guys realize this. It's September. Yeah, it's Labor Day weekend coming up, and we're in September now. Can you believe it?
Do you remember? Okay, I won't sing. Sorry. Yes, well, it is September, Labor Day.
Kind of just did.
So. I know. But I could have gone longer, and I didn't.
Stay with us. He's done, okay? Hang with us. Hang with us. We'll come back. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase on the other side. ESPN 102.5 The Game.
L-E-D-E-N-E-Z. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.